From coast to coast and around the world, you are now walking with spirit. Hello, everybody. I'm Monique Chapman, your host, and thank you for joining me for an hour of personal and metaphysical growth. Each week, Walking with Spirit explores different topics from the mundane to the mystical with stimulating guests from all over the world who share their knowledge to uplift consciousness. Now, normally, this is where I would introduce my guest. However, I'm having a true Mercury retrograde day, and I can't find my guest. His line is busy, so Jim, if you're listening, get off the phone and call in. Otherwise, it's me and the audience tonight. So if you would love a reading, I would love to hear about what's going on in your life, or if Mercury retrograde is stressing you out just a little bit, give me a call, and we can talk about it. The phone lines are open right now, and the numbers worldwide, 1-877-876-5227. Now, I'm going to share a little bit about me for anyone who's new and just tuning in to Walking with Spirit. I'm an intuitive consultant, and I've been doing this line of work for about 25 years now. I have helped thousands of people, from stay-at-home parents to corporate executives, make their invisible dreams visible. I work with my gifts using the past, present, and future, looking at that all at the same time to help you burst through your problems and help you create a consciousness for yourself, a consciousness of being on your right path. I work with Eastern, Western, African, and Caribbean methodologies, in addition to being a board-certified hypnotherapist, Reiki master teacher, and ordained minister. I'm available to you for private consultations in the areas of prosperity, business, career, dreams, life path, relationship, personal growth, negative energy removal, and manifesting techniques. I achieve success by blending intuitive wisdom with pragmatic action. Allow me to assist you in turning your life around. There's no need to suffer when I'm here to help. For more information about me, you can log on to either one of my websites, www.healing-visions.com or www.walkingwithspirit.net, or give me a call toll-free. My office is 888-240-6057. You know, this last week with Mercury going retrograde as of the 4th of July has been extremely interesting. So many people have called and they just can't figure out which end is up, so to speak. They're having very disturbing dreams or communication mix-ups. And one woman, her car just decided to stop working right in the middle of the street, and she couldn't even get the tow truck to come for about 4 hours to, you know, rescue her and pull her over to the side of the road. So it's been some pretty interesting goings on. And like I said, tonight, you know, my guest is in missing land for the moment. And, you know, the best way to get through this is to take a deep breath, and kind of what Don told me when I was, like, flipping out 10 minutes ago, is take a deep breath, have some fun, and just work through it. Because no matter what you're going through, no matter what, it will get better, because times do change. So tonight, I think for a little bit, we're going to jump around and talk about many things. But if you, you know, want to talk and want a reading, please give me a call. That number is 877-876-5227. There's an article that's floating around the Internet, and it's been on the Internet for a while. And it's a little lengthy, but I'm going to read it to you. And it's called The Awakening. And when I read this the first time, this had to be about 5 years ago, it really struck a chord in my heart, because to me, this is really about what life is about kicking ourselves in the rear when we need to and moving forward. And for those of you who would like to follow along with me, it is posted on my website at www.healing-visions.com/wisdom.html. So I'm going to go through this article. Yes. Is there a caller there?
I can barely hear you.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, guess what?
What?
All my phones are dead.
Hmm?
Yeah, I'm on cell phone now. I can barely hear you.
Okay, I can barely hear you too. Who's this?
This is Jim Hickman.
Oh, hi, Jim. I thought it was you.
every phone in my house is completely dead.
Oh, my goodness.
No dial tone.
Oh,
and they were
no,
fine yesterday.
Yeah, because we were
trying
to call you on two different lines, and one was busy, and one just rang and rang and rang. So, you know, another Mercury retrograde moment, folks. I was just telling everyone about Mercury retrograde and communication mix-ups and things being a little askew, and you couldn't even use your phone. Well, do you want to move forward with this on your cell?
Well, I could barely hear you. Excuse me?
Okay, do you want to move forward with this on your cell phone?
If you get better communications, maybe. I can barely hear you.
Oh, my goodness. Can you hear me now? I've got everything turned up as much as I can. Don, can you assist me from the station?
Okay, I can't understand a word you said. I'm sorry.
Okay, why don't you try hanging up and dialing back in?
Okay, I'll call you back.
Okay. Okay, while we're waiting for Jim to call back in, I'm going to start reading some of this awakenings because it's truly right on with what we're going through. Okay, so in the midst of all your fears, you stop dead in your tracks, and somewhere the voice inside your head cries out, enough. Enough fighting and crying and struggling to hold on. And then, like a child quieting down from a blind tantrum, your sobs begin to subside. You shudder once or twice, and you blink back.
Who's Jim Hickman again?
Hello?
I still barely hear you.
Okay. Maybe we should do it another time. If you can't hear me, can you hear me enough where I can answer, where you can answer questions or no?
Boy, I can barely make you out right now. You're a little better than you were, but I don't know.
Okay, well, let's try it, and then if it doesn't work, we can just stop.
Okay.
Okay,
I apologize for this. My phone's working last night. I did the interview last night, and they were fine.
Uh-huh. Well, it is Mercury retrograde, and it is, July 11th, so an 11th day, a very powerful day, the number 11. So, you know, we'll just go with the flow, okay?
Okay,
so my guest tonight who is having difficulty hearing me is Jim Hickman, and he's here to talk about his latest book, which is entitled The Rancher's Nightmare, and The Rancher's Nightmare, Mysterious Murder of Livestock That Has Plagued Farmlands Around the Globe for Generations. The University of South Carolina Journal says about Jim, Jim Hickman brings the study of UFOs out of the basement, out of the clutches of the hoaxsters, and places it in the context of competent scientists and technicians. He also provides a framework that many reporters currently use to achieve credibility and approach the truth. Incorporating the scientific methods instills trust in the soundness of the research while maintaining an appropriate distance of skepticism. Jim is currently the executive director of Skywatch International, one of the world's largest UFO groups, and he is a research specialist for media operations for MUFON, and he serves as a staff consultant for CAUSE and is the contributing editor to Beyond Publications. He's a reporter for Earth Changes TV, and Jim currently does a weekly commentary on the X Zone radio show. Welcome, Jim.
Well, good evening, and I'm sorry for all the problems we're having tonight.
Well, you know, it's not your problem, not my problem. Mercury's just playing with us, so we're just going to play along, okay?
Okay. Seems like phone problems always follow me. I don't know why.
Well, maybe it's because you're playing with all those UFOs. What do you think?
Yeah, I really do think so. I've had this before.
Uh-huh.
But I'm actually standing in my backyard right now trying to talk to you on the cell phone.
Oh, wow.
And I'm just barely getting through. And all the phones in our entire house are completely dead. And I have no idea why. I guess the government wants to keep me quiet on this new book.
Well, you know, that's kind of where I was going to go with that. So since you went there, let's explore that a little bit. Because you have been doing work for years that the government doesn't want out to the general public. It's like you're kind of that thorn in their side. So, you know, what is your take? Do you really feel that there's an opportunity that the government might be monitoring you and maybe shutting you down from time to time?
Well, I'm sure they do. They, as you know, they've been monitoring other folks quite regularly through the NSA. It's been in all the major news. And, of course, they feel that our little group, UFO groups are subversive because we are trying to get the truth out to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that some people just can't stand. And we've had problems like this where we just get cut off in mid-sentence. We mentioned the word UFO, and phones just go completely blank.
Yeah.
And it's happened so many times over the last, I've been doing this close to 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's becoming quite a regular deal. And the government is really interested in what we do. They really want to keep this whole thing a secret because there's such a potential panic within the public. If they knew the real truth behind all this, the possibility of the public panicking and the government breaking down and even religions breaking down is so great that they can't afford to even take a chance
mm-hmm.
of this of releasing this info. This is more highly classified than anything really out there any other subject. This goes back to the 1890s at least that I know of as far as classified projects.
Yeah, well, you talk about in your book about the first documentation was what, 1897?
Yes. We just recently did a show for the History Channel called Texas's Roswell. You may have seen that.
Mm-hmm.
It was about the crash down in Aurora, Texas. And this was in 1897. And gentleman that wrote about it in the Dallas Morning News. And it was quite a deal, a write-up. Some 3,000 people were at the funeral for this small gentleman that died in the crash
mm-hmm.
that we were describing as an alien. The body has been hidden to us. There's a large chain link fence with barbed wire around the entire area where the debris is now. And it wasn't there 5 years ago. And
years ago it wasn't there.
Hmm? Excuse me?
I said just 5 years ago the fence wasn't there, the link fence?
Yes, it wasn't there. We were there five years or so to do some research for my first book, 5,000 Years of UFOs,
mm-hmm.
and we found that it was quite amazing deal that there's a quite a bit of history there. This actually happened. The people of eyewitnesses are still alive that were involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
There are people the cemetery where the aliens supposedly crashed is going to be leaving us soon because they're building a new interstate through there. And we only have a few years to get to the truth. There is a historical marker that the state of Texas has put up there commemorating the event of this alien crashing. And this is, you have to remember, this is quite some years before even the Wright brothers flew.
Mm-hmm.
So this wasn't anything man-made. And the entire deal is so similar to Roswell. If you're familiar with the Roswell case from 1947,
yeah.
It's almost identical. We have a crash debris recovery. We have a strange government people showing up at the scene. There's a gentleman, Mr. T.J. Weems, that showed up at the scene. He was a government agent, and that he thought that this gentleman was from the planet Mars. And he's been buried in the cemetery there in Aurora, Texas, which is just outside of Fort Worth, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He's been buried there since 1897. And we have tried different folks, different groups, MUFON and several international groups have tried to get permission to do archaeological dig at this site. And we have been refused by not only the Cemetery Association, but the Weiss County management down there. They have completely refused to allow us on the property, and they've even called the sheriff's department out to escort the researchers off the property. So this is, that's a big deal.
Yeah, this is major. Why are they so afraid? I know you said, it might upset our thinking, but they can still investigate, even partner with you and investigate so that they can have full the government can have full knowledge. Why do you think the government is so afraid of this?
Well, they're so afraid of it because of it. Well, for one thing, it's job security for the people that have been involved in this for so many years. The problem is that if the truth comes out, they've been shown to be a liar for the last 50 years or so. And also, there's even more in depth is the public safety factor. And I've written about that in several books about how, as you know, Orson Welles wrote did the War of the Worlds play on the radio back in 1938. And this caused a panic throughout the eastern United States.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they put disclaimers and everything on the air, it still caused a panic, and several people died because of this. And the government studied this for quite some time afterwards and determined that this was never going to happen again. And they will not release information on UFOs to anyone, especially since 9/11. It's really been a crackdown. At one time, there were numerous files on the CIA's website, the FBI's website. Even the NSA had PDF files on UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've all been pretty much reclassified, and it's just complete total secrecy on the subject.
Interesting. Do you feel that the activity of UFOs is increasing, and that's part of the reason why they really want to erase as much as they can?
Well, no, it's actually the UFO activity is not really increasing.
Mm-hmm.
This last month, for example, we had 115 reported cases here in the United States, pretty much all over the country, no particular spots. And that's about average. We get a little over 100 cases every month, legitimate reported cases where we have reports filled out, investigators go out and check these things. At one time back in the 50s, there were over 1,000 reports coming in a month. So it comes and goes in waves. Right now there's not so many cases, but the government is much more interested in it because it's a secret, and the one thing that the government is really good at is keeping secrets, and that they really want to try and keep the secrets secret. Look what's happened recently with the NSA disclosures, all these disclosures coming out about the programs. Well, if this disclosure came out about UFOs, this could be the biggest thing that's happened to humanity in thousands of years. This could change our whole social system.
Mm-hmm.
This goes, you know, all the way. Could change our religion. It could change our government. Everything could change. It is so secretive that the records are hidden away so deeply that even the best researchers, archivers, have spend their whole careers looking, trying to find documents. I have several friends that have researched for years. I'm sure you know Stan Freeman. He's done research all over the country looking at the National Archives, and you just can't get any records. They say they've been destroyed. Sometimes they've been destroyed in a mysterious fire in the records, and other times they're unable to locate anything. And we've researched this for years, and why they're doing it, we don't really have a clue, but we know it's happening. And we know that there is something out there in our airspace. This is another reason why, is that we think that the government really doesn't want us to know that there's objects flying in the sky that they can't stop coming in here. They can't stop flying in our airspace.
Yeah, but wouldn't we think that since we can send spaceships there, that possibly something out there could send something here? I mean, doesn't that seem logical?
Yes, it does. They could surely come here. You've got to remember that the planet Earth and its entire solar system here is relatively young. The next star system over is over a billion years older than we are.
Mm-hmm.
So any planets around that star system, the civilizations, have a billion-year head start on us. And you know, even 100 years, look back 100 years in mankind's history, some of the things we have today would be magic to someone 100 years ago.
That's true.
Think how much a billion years advanced would be. Mm-hmm. So, of course, yes, they can come here. And our whole project is to prove that, to get the physical evidence, to take the scientific community, to prove that, yes, they can and have been coming here for centuries.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in your book, the Rancher's Nightmare, there was a couple of surprises in there for me. First of all, you talk about there's a connection between Walt Disney and the government and UFOs.
Okay, I didn't catch the first part of that.
Okay, in your book, you talk about a connection between Walt Disney, the government, and UFOs.
Okay. Yeah, there's a big connection between all of this. As you know, Charles Lindbergh ran a commission back in the late 30s that looked into foreign aircraft design.
Mm-hmm.
And he was apparently at Roswell, according to eyewitnesses who have signed affidavits, including Major Jesse Marcel Jr., who is the son of the person that actually was called out to pick up the crash debris there. And they all say that they saw this Charles Lindbergh there the night of the crash at the officers' club with the commanding general. And even described to be the color of the suit that he was wearing all these years later had kept such an image on his mind. And we've done some research to see why he was involved in this and why. Well, he was on a commission that looked at foreign aircraft. He also was one of the only pilots that had ever flown a what we call a flying disc type aircraft. Voigt aircraft had several designs back in the 40s that he test flew. And so he's an expert on this type of debris kind of incident. And it's not the first one. You know, they've had other cases before Roswell from 1897 through the 30s, 40s, 50s, all the way up till today, pretty much. And it's an amazing thing to see how blatant the cover-up is. It's almost embarrassing sometimes when you look at how much work they put into these things. Just like tonight, my phone mysteriously goes dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, you know, we knew... we had the phone company here about a week ago, and it's just amazing to me that they want to try and cover this up so much that we have something called ufologist disease now, where so many people that have studied UFOs have mysteriously died or have been killed under mysterious circumstance. And this has gone on. This has gone on for quite some time, and we're real concerned about that. And of course we're having the big MUFON conference this next week in Denver, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we're going to be able to get the truth out there. And hopefully people will listen to us and not call us the usual crackpot kind of things that we get. People don't believe in UFOs until they actually see something that they can't explain.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, they changed their tune pretty much. And I see it all the time here. I get local reports here in town on a regular basis. And pretty much the first word out of people's mouths is that you're going to think I'm crazy, but I saw an object that I can't explain in the night sky. And I'm investigating a case right here in my hometown here in Oklahoma of a mysterious object that was seen hovering horizontally, a disc-shaped object with white lights that was seen by two different people at the same time that had no relations. They were in two different areas of town. And that was rather unusual because they had no connection to each other and they had no reason to really make up stories like that. And their reports were identical to what they saw. And if we had some photographic evidence to go along with that, that would make for pretty good evidence. But
a lot of the photo evidence that we do get in, unfortunately, is so easily hoaxed that we have to be real careful. We have to have good, reliable witnesses on this whole subject,
mm-hmm.
and we have to have verifiable evidence. We take this stuff to the scientific community. We don't want to get laughed at. They call us the giggle factor in the scientific community,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we have to have good, solid evidence that yes, something is here that we can't explain. And some of the evidence that we looked at is down in the bottom of a well in Aurora, Texas, that we can't get to. And we're not allowed to get anywhere near it, and there's a chain link fence with a barbed wire around it that's keeping us out of there. One piece of metal was recovered by John Schuchler, who is the director of MUFON, and he had it analyzed, and it had some unusual characteristics, to say the least. It had some non-magnetic particles, and also it had aluminum and strength that mixtures that couldn't be done on Earth. It could be done in a vacuum of space, or it could be done on another planet, but not in our atmosphere, according to the experts that he took it to. He took it, to the University of Chicago, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have my notes in front of me. You have to apologize. We're doing this show from my backyard.
In your backyard. Hopefully it's a beautiful night out.
It is. It is beautiful out. Last night it was raining, but tonight's really nice. We're out here actually UFO spotting right now, so...
Okay.
We're improvising. Usually I have a lot of my notes and things in front of me, and that's just not going to happen tonight. We're going to be ad-libbing as we go along.
And that's fine. And that's absolutely fine. You know, in your book you were talking about, in Chapter 6, you called it the Human Bovine Blood Products. Now, the whole book is basically premised on that cattle for eons have been mutilated by aliens, right?
Well, that's by someone, non-human. We have no proof that humans have ever been involved in a single mutilation anywhere. And I uncovered some research just recently after we did our show on the History Channel.
Mm-hmm.
You may have seen that episode that we did for the UFO Files called Cattle Mutilation. Linda Howell and myself did an hour-long special on it, how we research these kind of cases. But we found that there is a reason to have cattle mutilations, and it involves these large drug manufacturers. And we had no idea why they would be involved in something like this until I had some surgery last January, and I found out that they were using something called a bovine growth hormone, and they were using it to grow bone within my body.
Oh.
And and it was made from a bovine product. This is brand new, just approved by the FDA in January,
uh-huh.
January 1st. And there's also another product that's come out since then called Hemopure, which is a blood substitute that is based on bovine blood. And, you know, anyone that gets the patent to that kind of moneymaker is going to be, extremely rich. You know,
mm-hmm.
We're talking millions, if not billions of dollars here.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting you brought that up because I saw something, I think it was 20, 60 Minutes, one of those shows, very recently about the substitute blood, and it was actually being utilized in horrific traffic accidents where, you know,
mm-hmm.
people needed blood right away without the person's permission.
Yeah.
And then if they wanted to, if they found out when they wanted to switch over to regular blood, say in the hospital, they were told no, they would have to follow through with this blood substitute.
Right. And, I've had some experience in this. My day job, I'm a biomedical engineer at a hospital, so
mm-hmm.
I have some working knowledge on what does and doesn't happen, and I also have a connection with doctors that I talk with on a daily basis, you know, in the locker room kind of thing, that we talk about UFOs, and some of the evidence that we've come up with over the years just completely directs us away from humans completely, and yet predators aren't the answer either, and a lot of people think that this involves people hoaxing or religious cults of some kind or maybe anything, but aliens from space.
Mm-hmm.
But when you take and you eliminate everything that is possible, there's only a few things that are left that could be possible, and one of them is this connection to these lights that people are seeing. Almost every occasion that there's a collision, people see strange lights in the sky. And they also report a loud rumbling sound that they describe as sounding like a jet aircraft in the area at the same time. So, there's a connection there that we're trying to make between catamulations and UFOs. Now, another reason I connect this up technically is that we see burn injuries on the cattle that mm-hmm. cannot be caused by anything but a laser. And it's a laser that's much more powerful than any medical laser. I work with lasers. I'm actually a certified laser technician.
Mm-hmm.
The medical lasers that we use have pretty good output power, but they cannot cut through bone. And these animals we're finding, these lasers have cut through bone in what we call a cookie cutter pattern. And it's quite obvious when you look at it under a microscope or in the lab that this is done under extremely high heat. And it's done in a way that can't be done in the middle of a field in a pasture.
Mm-hmm.
You'd require an 18-wheeler with a huge generator on it and a laser the size of a large refrigerator out there in the middle of a field to do this. And there's no tire tracks ever reported. There's never been anyone found around these cattle. There's never been any blood found around the cattle. They decompose in strange ways, very slowly. Also, we're finding strange spherical objects around the cattle. You may have seen us do a soil sample recovery up there in Farnham, Nebraska. And we dug up and we found some spherical objects, magnetite, that doesn't normally appear in normal soil. If it does, it's very, very small amounts. But this was in huge amounts, and it was in perfectly formed red spheres.
Hmm.
And we found this in a large concentration around the cow. And going away from the cow, it went less and less. And we took this in to Dr. William Levengood, who is a famous crop circle researcher, doctor, and specialist on this kind of thing. And he looked at it under the microscope and said that these objects did not appear to be naturally formed because they were too spherical. So this is more evidence that we have that we want to present to the scientific community. We'd like to have them debunk this stuff, try and help us solve what's going on. That's my biggest goal in my research, is to get the scientific community to quit laughing and to look at the scientific facts in all this and find out what's going on. We're being visited, and there may be visited by very good people, good aliens, quote-unquote, or we may be visited by very, very bad ones.
Yeah.
As we mentioned in my second book, The Alien Menace, we've had mutilations of other species besides cows. We've had horses. Of course, you know, Stimpy the horse was one of the first reports just back in 1967.
Mm-hmm.
We've also had smaller animals, goats, and even I don't know your viewership or your listenership.
Oh, just go for it.
We go. I try to keep it as G-rated as I can, but you got to realize that there's also human mutilations involved in this, and there's been several documented cases, including a case at Garapanga, Brazil, that we've been studying for quite a few years. This happened back in 1988, of a gentleman that was mutilated exactly like the cattle, and his entire organs had been through a 3-centimeter hole in his abdomen. Now, I've talked with my medical experts who do surgeries every day using laparoscopic procedures,
mm-hmm.
and they say they don't have the technology available, and it's not available anywhere that could do that kind of surgery, that could you know, literally suck your organs right out of your body.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we have this report from the police surgeon there in Sao Paulo, Brazil, saying that this is how this gentleman passed away. And this is just one of many cases. You may have seen the In Search Of episode we did on Sci-Fi Channel on the subject. We recreated that case, and we also recreated a case out in White Sands, Mexico, that happened in 1956 to Sergeant Luette. And he was out with a major out watching a missile launch when they observed a silver disc come overhead. And he was abducted right in front of the major. And his body was recovered some 3 days later, completely mutilated, just exactly similar to a cattle. You know, missing organs, missing an eyeball, an ear, sort of part of the jaw, the classic signs that we see, sexual organs being removed, what we call coring. And I'm trying to stay technical with this, but as you can see where there are similarities between what we're seeing with the cows and what we're seeing now with humans.
Mm-hmm.
And why this is happening, we don't know. We just know it is happening. And I'm trying to, and other people out there are trying to report the facts as they're given to us by the specialists that we know, and let the folks out there make up their own minds and look at the evidence. I have some of the photographs and the autopsy reports available on my website at HickmanReport.com.
Mm-hmm.
We have a link there that you can look at the some of the actual photographic evidence and the autopsy report that I had to have translated from Portuguese to English to be able to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not an easy task here in Oklahoma. Not many people speak Portuguese.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it is it's a scary subject. I don't sleep well at night, as I mentioned in my second book. This research, I found over 100 documented cases of injury and illness and death caused by direct contact with these unknown entities.
Mm-hmm. Now, when they come and they mutilate us, do you feel that it's more for their education, or are they trying to do great harm to us?
Well, I see patterns that look and remind me of scientific type work, where they're removing similar organs and repeating procedures. So that kind of tends me to look towards a scientific method that's being used. And I'm not sure why, and but yet there may be several species involved in this outside our own. Maybe one is doing it for scientific reasons, others doing it for nefarious reasons that we don't know about. We may not even be able to understand the reasoning behind some of it. And yet, it may be just as simple as large drug companies doing it for billions of dollars in profit.
Mm-hmm.
We really don't know. The evidence is weird because we're getting all kinds of strange things, as I've mentioned, magnetite, we're seeing laser injuries, things that even the military doesn't have. They don't have a laser that's powerful enough to do the kind of injuries that we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that eliminates humans right off the bat. But why would they do it? I don't know. You know, why wouldn't they go out and buy, if it was the government, why wouldn't they go buy their own cattle at any place that you could go buy cows at, cow lots or wherever, or grow your own.
Yeah.
And there's no evidence of that. It seems like they're getting random samples. For some reason, we're getting a lot of them Colorado and the Mysterious Valley area. It's been going on there since the late 60s or early 70s. It was first investigated there by Linda Moulton Howe, and she received quite a few awards on her work.
Mm-hmm.
On it, and we've been working together for since 2003 on this subject, trying to figure out what's going on. I'm hadn't really been into the cattle mutilation side of this before, but it so fascinated me that I had to look at it. And I started talking about it here locally, here in rural western Oklahoma at some of the local civic organizations. And I found that after I talked about it, farmers would start coming up to me afterwards and saying that they had no idea that this was going on and that it happened to them. And I have reports from just right all around the area here of these cattle mutilations happening, and they think that it's just happened to them and they go on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not happening because of insurance. Insurance companies have never reimbursed anyone for a cattle mutilation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not for a profit for the farmer.
Yeah, it's something that's happening external.
Yeah, if anything, the farmers are losing money on it, and it's really hurting them. That's why I call it the rancher's nightmare, because these folks are losing thousands, if not millions of dollars to this over the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to get more people involved in. The government did get involved at one point back in, when was that, 1979, I believe. I'm trying to go from memory, so
mm-hmm. No, it's okay. Go from memory. It's fine.
Yeah, it was with a guy named Kenneth Rommel, who was ex-FBI agent, and he wrote a report on Operation Cattle Mute, I believe was the report they wrote. And he basically studied a bunch of cases that had been originally investigated by New Mexico State police officers who had found traces of unusual luminescence on cows that would glow under ultraviolet light. They found traces of drugs like Thorazine in the cattle, and also found some cattle that had been mutilated that had signs of strap marks where they had been carried away by some sort of vehicle similar to a helicopter, I would say. Some had legs broken. Some had been dropped on fences.
Ooh.
We had one report in Colorado from my good friend Chris O'Brien of cattle being found inside of a water tank. Up in the air.
Yeah. Well,
they don't go there by themselves.
No, he couldn't have galloped up there. That wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, there's a lot of high strangeness involved in this, and we don't really have a handle on it. What's going on with that? I wish I could just come up and tell you, yes, it's all Satan worshippers who are doing this, and it's all easily solvable, and don't worry about it. Go home and rest easily tonight. I can't say that. What I can say is that yes, there is something out there, and they're not all friendly. And we have a lot of reports of where people report, great encounters with aliens, the classic E.T. movie kind of thing, where they have just a really good encounter and a really good sort of vibes with them, the peace and love and all those kind of thing that we would expect from an advanced civilization. But then we get other reports where people have been abducted. They've been medically probed. I'm sure you know Travis Walton.
Mm-hmm.
He's a friend of mine, works with Skywatch. We both spoke at Aztec UFO conference last year. And he told me his entire story about being abducted and being taken away for 5 days and being medically tested and probed by these aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And the story that he talks about is completely different from what you see in the movie that was made on his story. It's much more intense, and he is psychologically traumatized to this day.
Yeah,
this happened back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
He's still reliving it in his mind, and he's just now really coming out and talking about it and trying to see if that'll help him. But as you can imagine, being abducted that way, and Sheriff's Department investigated, they had the whole state out looking for him,
mm-hmm.
and nobody was able to find him, and then he sort of appears on the side of the road, and for no apparent reason. And to this day, we don't really know what happened. We know that we have five eyewitnesses who saw a object in the sky that shined a beam down on them, and that was the last they saw of them for 5 days. Now, this is investigated as a possible murder case by the local sheriffs there in Arizona.
Uh-huh.
And they were about ready to throw these other gentlemen in jail.
Oh, my God.
And they ended up not having to do that. And they've since all taken lie detector tests, and they've all passed these tests. And the stories that they tell are true. And the physical evidence matches up, and it's probably one of the best cases of human abduction that we have. And abductions go on, continue to this day, with this small gray-type alien that is reported, one of many kinds that we get reported. But they seem to be the ones that are abducting folks, and mostly from the United States and Canada and Australia and New Zealand. And for some reason, we don't get too many reports from South America or Europe, which is strikingly strange that we don't. It would seem that we would get uniform reports from around the world if this was just some scientific thing.
Well, is there any concentration on one particular race over another?
Not really, no. It's a general sampling of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no real... if anything, the one thing we see is that most of the people are physically fit, and probably, like in the cattle are the best of the herd,
okay.
Are usually the ones that are taken. And same with the humans. It's the best humans, I guess, they could find.
Mm-hmm.
And it's scary sometimes, you know. We have, I've had close encounters. I had my first close encounter with alien beings when I was 7, and people say, "Oh, you probably just were had a nightmare or something." Then I tell them that both my parents were there. This is on our family farm.
Mm-hmm.
Both my parents were there. My older brother and sister were out there staying in the field with me as this object flew over our house at between 50 and 100 feet, and you could feel the heat coming off of it. And the being that was in the craft, we could see through the windows that were in this object, the being waved at us, and we waved back. And our next-door neighbors saw it. They came over afterwards and asked what it was, and we didn't have any idea. And that got my dad interested in the subject. This was back in 1962, and he got involved in NICAP, which is an old UFO group that no longer exists, and I kind of tagged along with him for all these years, and he passed away. And one of the last things he asked me to do was to continue on with his work and try and get to the bottom of the truth of what is going on with flying around in our skies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still working at it, and 40 years now. And I'm no closer than I was back in the 1960s.
Yeah, well, you know, in a sense you might feel that you're not closer, but the government sure feels you're closer, or they wouldn't be harassing you the way that they are.
I'm beginning to think that maybe I'm hitting on a spot somewhere, but I haven't quite figured out exactly where or what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But recently, since this new book has come out, it's only been out a month or two, The Rancher's Nightmare. We've had a lot of unusual occurrences with our phones, with our internet connections. We've had, I've had unusual encounters with people that come up and ask me really strange questions that don't, shouldn't even know that I'm in this field.
Mm-hmm.
But I really haven't had anybody really come up and say, "Don't talk about this, you know, or we will take you out of the desert." And that'll be the last you'd ever be heard of. But I'm expecting that someday. There's a whole lot of people that don't want the truth exposed.
Unfortunately or fortunately, the truth is going to come out, because we are in an energetic time right now where the truth is just pushing itself forward no matter how much we're trying to subdue it. Jim, our time has gone so quickly between the phone mix-up and, you know, everything in government. You can turn his phone back on now.
there you go.
I really appreciate you being on tonight. The book is The Rancher's Nightmare, The Mysterious Murder of Livestock. Folks, go out and buy it. It's a quick, easy read, extremely informative, and pay attention to that chapter on the real men in black. That one absolutely blew me away, and I think that will the audience, too. Jim, they can get that from your website, hickmanreport.com?
Yep, this is available from there. They can get it at Barnes & Noble or Amazon or through my publisher at publishamerica.com.
Mm-hmm.
And
along with your other books, 5,000 Years of UFOs and The Alien Menace, because they're still in print, correct?
Oh, yes, they're all still in print. We also have DVDs, and we also have CDs available on our website. And we're looking at an object right now flying overhead that is displaying some non-ballistic motion. As you know, I'm in my backyard.
Uh-huh.
My wife is pointing this out, and this object has just now stopped. It appears to be a star-shaped object.
Oh, my goodness. Folks, we got a live UFO sighting. Well, let's go for a minute more. Don, please give me another minute or two so we could just follow this.
It moved from about a 30-degree above the horizon up to about 45 to 50, and now it's stopped as I observed it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not something that we would normally expect to see from a star or from a planet or from even the space station or the shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking off to my east, and it is absolutely stationary right now, but it was moving at a very rapid pace. So I guess they're looking at us as we speak.
Oh, wow. Well, they know they're getting some attention.
Yeah, we're getting some attention from up there.
Yeah.
So,
well, great. You know, have somebody take a picture or something. Maybe, you know, this could be some great big breakthrough.
Yeah, well, but it's another unusual sighting in a long line of these that I can't explain. I can't explain the non-ballistic motion that I just saw in this object.
Okay.
Why it's standing still now. But anyway, I will let you go. And
okay, his website is the Hickman Report. I think you can email him from that. So those listening, if you have questions about what else he's seeing, please send him an email. I'm quite sure that Jim will respond. Jim, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Well, it was interesting. It's the first time I've ever done an interview from my backyard.
We had a sighting at the same time.
It's been great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Okay, no problem.
Okay.
I will be back next week with my very good friend, Cynthia Sue Larson. She is the creator of Reality Shifters. If you want more information, check out my website, www.walkingwithspirit.net or healing-visions.com. Or give me a call at 888-240-6057. And remember that the master knows that he or she is a student, whereas the student still hopes to someday be a master. Many blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.